Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. We're now in Masachet Bab, my name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Masachet Bab Metzia Daf Yud Bet Amud Aleph at the Mishnah in the middle of the Amud, which is Mishnah Hey. Metziat Bno Uvito HaKetanim. So a Metziah, which is found by minor children, Metziat Avdo V'Shichato HaKetanim, or found by your Eved or Shifcha Kenani, Metziat Ishto, or that found by the wife, Arielu Shelo, they belong to the Balabait. However, Metziat Bno Uvito HaGdolim, adult children, Metziat Avdo V'Shichato Ivrim, or your Eved or Ama Ivriya, or Metziat Ishto Shigersha, if it's an ex-wife, even though you didn't yet pay the ketubah, it belongs to them. Tomorrow we'll analyze the second list and see why it's necessary to teach this. We'll deal with that. But for right now, we're going to focus on the issue of a katan, where the mitziyat katan goes to the father. Amar Shmuel, neimar mitziyat katan le'aviv. Why did the rabbi say that the mitziyat of a katan goes to his father? Shebishah shemotzam ritza itzal aviv. Because the minute he finds it, he runs and brings it to his father. Naturally, ve'eno macher b'yado. He doesn't delay. Now that means that, however, Shmuel seems to hold, that when the katan picks it up, there is no zchiyah, and he automatically brings it to his father, so we say, good, so it belongs to his father. So that means Shmuel holds that a katan midoraita has absolutely no financial standing to make a kinyan, and therefore his picking it up doesn't mean anything until he brings it to his father. If somebody hires a worker, yilaket b'no acharav, the worker is an oni, or could be an oni. His son can come and follow him and collect leket in the field. But if you hire him as a sharecropper, that means he has a holding on the field, and he's no longer an oni. His son can't collect. Rabbi Yossi says his family members may collect, because Rabbi Yossi evidently feels that the katan has his own standing, and therefore, when he picks it up, he's picking it up as an ani, happens to be the son of somebody who's not an ani. And that seems to be the way Shmuel feels. So Shmuel seems to feel that a katan has a zchiyah. So there's an exam in our analysis. If you agree that a katan does have his own zchiyah, he's picking it up for himself. And then when he gives it to his father's getting it. But if you hold, like we seem to understand Shmuel, that a katan doesn't have his own zechiah, he's collecting for his father. It's an extension of his father. But remember, if the father's a sharecropper, he's an usher because he has a hold in the land. So the father can't collect leket here. So how can the son, if the son doesn't have independent standing? So it must be that Rabbi Yossi holds the son has an independent standing, and Shmuel said, Allah Akbar, Rabbi Yossi. So the answer is Shmuel Tama Detana Didan Kamar. Shmuel is just explaining our Mishnah. In other words, Shmuel is saying, you know why they said in our Mishnah the Metziah of a little kid goes to the father? Because he has no Yad. On the other hand, Shmuel himself holds he has a Yad, and that's why he rules like Rabbi Yossi. But now let's think about it. But now we got to flip it. We got to say Rabbi Yossi indeed holds that a katan midoraita does have zechiyah, which is why he can collect in back of his father the sharecropper. We have the Mishnah Gittin Parakei Mishtachet Mitziat Chereish Shotev Katan Yishben Mishum Gezem Nedarke Shalom. That's in the sugi of Tikkun Olam, where the Mishnah lists all sorts of things that we do to keep the peace. And one of the things that we do is that incompetence, Chereish Shotev Katan, if they find something, it's theirs, and if you take it from them, it's called Gezel. That's a way to be nice to them. Rabbi Yossi remembers the Gezel Gomer, but Rabbi Yossi says no, it's absolute Gezel because they have a kinyan, but if you have Rav Chista Gezel Gomer Medivrehen. Rav Chista says that it's not Gezel Gomer Doraita, it's Gezel Durabonon, which means that Mi Doraita, there's no Kenyan. Mi Durabonon, they have a Kenyan on it, and therefore, if you take it from its Gezel, which, by the way, means, what's the difference between Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi? So, Nafkaminilot Saba Dayanim. The answer is that if it's only because of Darkei Shalom, then if somebody stole it, Dayanim can't act and remove it and give it back to the Cheresh. But if it's really called Gezel, even though it's Gezel Durabonon, then you could be motzi b'dayanim. Okay, but now we see that Rabbi Yossi holds that a katan does not have zechiyah doraita. Ela amar Abaye, so we have to go back to the fly in the ointment here, which is Rabbi Yossi's ruling about leket. Asa'ua kemishal chuban moshot. the Mishnah in Peah says, at what point can anybody go into a field and collect leket after the old people, the nemoshot, have already collected the leket? They have done it, the last guy, the stragglers. After that, everybody can go in. So Abaye says, what we've done is in the case where a man who is otherwise poor, has a poor family, but he becomes a sharecropper, according to Rabbi Yossi, we imagine that the season has gotten to the point where all the old people have already collected, even though they haven't, and we allow the kid to come collect, not as an ani, but as a Johnny come lately. The anim have already given up on the field. That's the idea of hachuba and moshot. So the anim have already given up on the field. It's already been cleaned. We're not going to go there. Now it's hefker to everybody. So this kid is not collecting as an ani, according to Rabbi Yossi. So chachamim say that the kid is collecting as an ani, which is why it can only work if the father's hired. Rabbi Yossi says, no, the kid's collecting and we're treating it as if the field has already been fully cleaned. And therefore, this kid is coming as a regular guy. Because he does have his own zechiyah. Because he doesn't have his own zechiyah, and he's a representative of his father. So, Savri, Breda, Ech Malaktele. And why do the Anim give up? Because they say, oh, this guy's working, and his kid's collecting, so we don't have anything left to collect. We'll go somewhere else. But Abaye's approach is a little bit difficult. Are you allowed to, let's say, put a lion in your fields to frighten the anim away? You're not. Are you allowed to let a poel come in with his kids so the anim will say, oh, there's nothing more, and they'll leave? They're not allowed to do that. Rava gives a twist to what Abaye says. Asush eino zoche kezoche. The Rabbanan simply said, even though you, the kid, have no zechut, as according to Rabbi Yossi, you have no zechut, and it goes directly to the father, we're going to treat you as if you have a zechut. My time, or why do they do that? Anim gufayu nechalu, because the anim enjoy it. Why? Because they can get the same deal. Because then this ani, who sees it, next season he'll hire as a poel, and his kid will be able to collect. So in other words, he's happy to let it work for the other guy, even though really the kid has no independent zechiyah, and therefore it really belongs to the father, and if the father's a sharecropper, then the kid really shouldn't have rights. But we say we're going to grant him rights of zechiyah, so that he can have an independent kinyan and pick it up, independent of his father, and give it to his father, because all the anim will be happy with that deal, because they'll participate in it next time. But this entire direction that we have is at odds with Rabchia Bar Abba's take, and Rabchia Bar Abba from Yochanan, lo gadol, gadol mamash, v'lo katan, katan mamash. Gadol and katan in our Mishnah don't mean chronology. Ela gadol v'samuch ha-shulchan aviv zekotzeo katan. If he's an adult child, 17, 20 years old, but he's still being fed by his father, that's called a katan. And therefore, if he finds a metziah, it goes to his father. Katan ve'no samuch ha-shulchan aviv, but you got a 7-year-old kid who's out there working on his own, zeo gadol, he's a gadol, and if he finds a metziah, it's his. It was a whole different direction than the one we took. Okay, the Mishnah then said, metziat avdo v'shifchato ha-ivrim harehu shel atzman. If your Eved or Amma Ivriya finds something that belongs to them. So Amai, lo yehei ala poel. Why is your Eved Ivri worse why is he different than a poel? Vitanya, what do we see about a poel? We saw this in the previous podcast. Metziat poel atzmo. If a poel finds something, he gets to keep it. Medvar, memorim is man shamarlo, nakeshi mihayom, hadori mihayom. That's only if you said, do this particular job or that particular job, rake or hoe or whatever, or weed. Then if he finds it as part of something else, then he's an independent guy. He keeps it. But if you say, work for me today, say, I told the balabayit, then his metziah goes to the balabayit, and the Eved Ivri is on a 6-year deal of asayim imalachayom. So, we have three answers. Answer one is, we got an Eved Ivri whose job is to cut jewelry. He's a specialized Eved. His Rav doesn't want him to do anything else. Therefore, he's really like a poel hired to do one specific job, and if he finds a metziah off the job, it's his. Rava Mar b'magbia metziah imalachto askinan. Rava says, we're talking about a case where he picks up the metziah as he's doing his work, so it's not any cost to the balabayit. He's not taking 1 second away from his work time that he owes the balabayit, and therefore it's his. Rav Papa Mar kengon shesachar laket metziot. It's different than what the literal translation is. The literal translation is he hired him to pick up mitziot. What it means is he hired him to pick up things, and one of them turns out to be the mitziah, which means he's involved in his job when he picks up the mitziah. Hechidami, ta'akfi agma b'chavri. let's say you had a bunch of fish fill up at lagoon, and then the lagoon dries out, and there's a bunch of fish lying there. So he says, go pick up 100 fish. He picks 100 fish, and while he's doing it, he finds another fish that's not part of the 100 or whatever, so it's part of the job that he's doing. Okay. Hai shifcha yechidami. We said a shifcha ivrit, meaning an ama ivriya. How is she in the picture? If she's already shown simonim and she's an adult, my bayagabe, she has to leave. And I'm ivriya, when she reaches age, has to leave. If she didn't, if father's alive, then her metziah goes to her father, not to her. If father's not alive, she should go free. So Reb Shlokesh in Kiddushin in the first parak in the sugya of Eved Ivri and Daf Tezayin suggests that if the master dies, that we know, the girl goes free. So if her father dies, she also goes free. And Kal v'chomer, because her father's hold over her is greater. So if the master who dies sets her free, certainly if the father dies, sets her free. That's his Kal v'chomer. So that means there's no way in the world that an Ama Ivriya could ever pick up a Metziah that for herself. Either she's not there anymore, or she is there and her father's alive and she's underage, and it goes to her father. But wait a second, we already refuted Rosh Lakish. So therefore, it's possible that father did die, and she's underage, and she hasn't left, and now she picks it up, and it's hers. So now let's turn it around. So maybe now we've got another proof against Rosh Lakish from right here, because there's a possibility for having Metzia. So maybe when the Mishnah says Harisha Lahan, it means it's theirs, it doesn't mean it's hers. It means it belongs to her family. I mean, it's not the master's. So here it could be that the girl is underage and father's alive and she finds it. It goes to her father. And all he meant by saying Shalahan is that it's not father's. It's not the master's. That's all. Okay, the last bit is Metziat Ishto. Gersha, so it said, if he divorced his wife, then the Metziah goes to her. So Peshitta, that's obvious. We're talking about a case of Suffolk Gerushin. Like, you threw the get in Suffolk Karavlo, Suffolk Karavla. Chacham said, anytime you have a Suffolk Gerushin, until you get a Fadeh Gerushin, the husband has to keep feeding her. Nonetheless, she keeps the Metziah. Why? Tam, am I Amur Rabbanan Metziah Tisha Labala? Why did the Rabbanan? It's a din to Rabbanan, and this is a Masachik Ketubot. Why did they say that a woman finds something goes to her husband, so that there isn't Eva? I'm feeding her all this stuff, and she found something, she keeps it? Hacha, Eva Eva. Here, there's lots of Eva, because they're already angry at each other. He's already divorcing. We just messed it up the first time. So, in that case, we don't have no concern. Let her keep the Metziah. Okay, the next Mishnah, Mishnah Vav, is going to take us, open up a sugya that's going to take us a number of podcasts till we finish. And then the next few Mishnayot will follow in the same theme of finding different kinds of things and to whom they're returned, if at all. Matzah shitrei chov. You find a shtar chov. A halva, a loan. Im yesh ben achrayut nechasim, if the loan has achrayut, which means that the word achrayut is written in there, and it means that ana achray, etc., and ana arvoy, that if the man does not pay back the loan, the lender can then go to anybody to whom he sold or gave any of his property subsequent to the loan and collect from them. That's called achrayut. So if there's achrayut nechasim, lo yachzir. You can't return it to the malva. Why? Shebeitin nifrain mehem. Because beitin will go collect from the buyer. And here's the problem. There's three parties here. There's a borrower, a lender, and a buyer. So the borrower, subsequent to the loan, sold his property to a third party. Now we find a shtar. Was the shtar already paid or not? We don't know. So if the shtar already was paid, and then this malva gets the loan back, and he has a chance to double dip, and he goes and seizes property from a third guy, from the buyer, that's illegal. And the third party is suffering. So because of that, if there's a achrayot written in, you don't return it. Ein ben achrayot nechasim. If there is an achrayot there, then yachzir, you give it back. She'ein beitin nifrayin mehen, because beitin won't force the collection. And therefore, maximum, the lov will have to pay a second time, and that's something he'll have to deal with. But no third party is going to get hurt. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's all Rabbi Meir. Chachamim ben kach o ben kach le'achzir b'nei she'beitin nifrayin mehen. We're going to spend a lot of time on that issue, but not in this podcast. Beitin, Chachamim say that in any case you don't return it, because in any case Beitin collects. We'll see why. Okay, the first thing the Gemara deals with is b'may askinan. What's the case here in our Mishnah vis-a-vis the shtar? Ilema kshechayiv modeh. If the lova admits and says, yes, yes, that's a get, that's a shtar chov, and I owe the money, I haven't paid it yet. So kiyesh bar achrayut nuchasim, why shouldn't you return if there's achrayut? Hamodeh, he admits that he owes the money. But if the lova does not admit it, he says, I didn't write that shtar, that's not me in there, or I paid it. Why should you return it if there's just because there's no achrayut? The lova is not admitting that he owes the debt, owes the money. After all, agreed, they're not going to collect from a shubadim, but they're going to collect from b'nei chorin. So the olam shechayiv moda, the answer is, and at the end we're going to suggest perhaps not, but for our purposes, the lova admits the shtar is valid. What's the reason here? Our concern is this. Maybe the date on the shtar is early in the year. He didn't borrow until later on in the year. And here's the problem. Even though the lova is moda, that he owes the money, which means that we now know that the money is owed, but if he only borrowed the money in the fall, then any property that he sold in the summer shouldn't be available for the debt. And because the debt, the date on it is in the spring, the Beit Din is going to go and collect from somebody that he sold to in the summer. But the guy who bought it in the summer bought free property, free and clear property, meaning. So if that's the case, so why don't we have that concern with every shtar? That the shtar has a date on it, but maybe the loan was only later, and we're going to go collect from Mishubadim that aren't really Mishubadim. The answer is kol shitre lo rei. Every shtar doesn't have, most shtarot don't have a reyuta, don't have some sort of a deficiency built in, that we should suddenly raise this doubt. Normally, a shtar has a date, that's the date the money was lent. Hani rei, but these shtarot in our Mishnah have a reyuta because they were dropped, they fall, so they obviously, we have reason to suspect that there's something not proper here. So if that's the case, lot and none in the next Mishnah, later on, kotvin shtar lo lova v'pisha in malveimo. You can write a shtar on behalf of the lova even though the malva's not around. The lova says, I'm going to borrow $100,000 from this guy. Write the shtar now so when he comes around we can finish it. How are you allowed to write such a shtar? Maybe he'll write it today, put the date of today, and only borrow the money 6 months later. And then, ultimately, therefore, the purchaser is going to end up losing his property, because he bought property from this lova before the lova borrowed the money, but after the date on it. So we have two answers to this question. Amar Rav Asi, b'shitrei hakna. When do we say that a lova can write a shtar without the malva being around? With shitrei hakna. Shtar hakna is a shtar in which you obligate yourself to pay before you've gotten the loan, which means your shibud is now. Tashabid nafshe. Since you are mashabid yourself from now at this moment on, therefore, indeed, if you were to take from the kuchot afterwards, it would be kadin. So then in our Mishnah, when we said, if there's a chrayut, you can't return the shtar, and we said, we're talking about a shtar where the lova admits he owes the money. Because of the concern we had that the shtar was written earlier than the actual loan happened. Why shouldn't you return it? After all, if we say that when you write a shtar, immediately the shibud kicks in whether you got the money or not, so it's very easy. If it's a shtar akna in which he writes, ani makne tashibud, right, and ani makne ta karkaza, whatever it is, then hashabid lanafshe, he was mishabid himself, and we shouldn't have any concern that the lekuchot are getting seized, the property seized inappropriately. If it's a shtar lo akna, like the mechash, there's nothing to worry about. Like a malva hade lo katvinan, we already said, if the malva is not there, you're not allowed to write a shtar chov, unless it's a shtar hakna. So imanafshach, either this is a shtar hakna, in which case the shibud goes back to the date on it, or else the loan happened at that time, because without it being a shtar hakna, you can't write such a shtar. So why are we concerned? And therefore, in our Mishnah, we should return it. Amar Rav Asi, so Rav Asi's answer was, afagav deshutei delav akna ki leka malva de lo katvina. And even though normally, unless it's a shtar akna, we don't write it without the malva being there handing over the money, ma'anditin gave a nafal itrole, but our Mishnah, the shtar has a reyuta, because it fell, so we have reason to think maybe the shtar is not okay, maybe the guy wasn't very careful because it wasn't a good shtar, So maybe in this case, it happened that inappropriately they wrote the shtar without the malva there, even though it was not a shtar akna. That's Ravasi. Abaye Amari has a different take. He says, do you know why a shtar, a normal shtar that comes before us, we can collect from the date on the shtar, even though it's possible that it was written before the loan? Because Eidav v'chatumav zachino, the minute that the Eidim are signed on the shtar, that is already mezake, the malve, to whatever rights he has here. V'afilu shitre delav akna, even if it's a shtar that's not a shtar akna. Mishum dekashale, why was Abaye saying this? Because he had a problem. Cave under Amar Peshitre de la Vakna, Kileta the Malva Bahadelo Katvinan. Since you just told me that any star that's not a star Hakna, we don't write unless the Malva is there. So, Leikal Mechash de Ikri Vachatuv. Therefore, we have no reason to be concerned that this star was written without the Malva there if it's not a star Hakna. He's not taking the concern of Ravasi as maybe something inappropriate happened here. We don't write such starot. So the next mishnah that we have, which is if you find a get, or you find a shtar shichur, you find a tzavat shchimira, command of somebody who's dying, a directive of somebody who's dying, or a shtar matana or shovar, you're not allowed to return it. Why? Maybe the guy wrote it and decided not to give it. He changed his mind, doesn't want to give this gift. Who cares if he changes his mind? You just got through saying, Abaye, that the minute the Edim are signed, that's already mezakeh the rights of the shtar. So what do I care if he changed his mind not to give it? He already signed it. And the answer is quite simple. If the shtar eventually gets to the hands of the recipient, then we say his rights on it go back to the moment the Edim signed. If the shtar never gets to him, like, for instance, a guy on his deathbed decides to give a gift to somebody and writes it and then changes his mind, so it never gets to the guy, and then we don't say he was Zocha from the minute the Edim signed, he was never Zocha. The question is one of timing if he eventually does get it. So, but our Mishnah, we said that our Mishnah is a case where the Lova admits that he wrote it and that he owes it. And the only reason that we don't return it to the Malve, if there's a chrayut, is because maybe the loan was made after the date. And the lekuchot from the meantime will suffer. So, I understand, according to Ravasi, Ravasi, who says, when do we write a shtar in advance? Shtar hakna. And our Mishnah is shtar to love hakna. But Abaye says that the minute the Edim are signed on it, shtar akna or not, the Malva already has rights. So why in our Mishnah do we not return it? Abaye says a very simple reason. We're concerned that the Lova and the Malva are in on a conspiracy to hurt the Lekuchot. The Malva lends the money. The Lova subsequently sells some property. The Lova then pays back the Malva, then drops the shtar, and the Malva comes back to collect again and goes and collects from the Kuchot. All right, so that's the concern here. Ula Shmuel damar lochashin l'pirona l'kununia, but according to Shmuel, says we don't ever have the concern. Ma'ikel l'memar. How will Shmuel interpret the Mishnah? So the answer is Hanechi Savalakravasi, if he holds like Ravasi, Damar Vishitraknoa, that the only time you write it in the absence of the Malva is Shitraknoa. So I need to Mishitra Lavaknoa. But we say our Mishnah is talking about a case which started Lavaknoa. Alitzavar Kabaye, but if Shmuel held like Abaye, Damar Edibachatumav Zochinlo, that the reason that a star can be written, in advance, when it can be written and we're not concerned that Lekuchot are going to suffer is because the minute the Edim sign on, Hakra or not, the Malva already has the claim. Michael and Amar. So how will Shmuel explain it? Why would we not return the star? After all, the minute the star is written, there's a shibud to the Malva, whether or not he paid the money. He lent the money. So why can't you return it to him? The answer is Shmuel Malkel Manditin, Shin Chayev Moda. Shmuel has to say that our Mishnah is talking about a case. So Lolova says, I didn't write it. I don't owe that money. So Yachi Kemen Achayev Nochasim Mayachzir. So if that's the case where the Lolova says, I don't owe the money, why should we give it to the Malva even if there is no Achrayut? You know, Gavim Mishabdi, Mechoy, even though without Achrayut you can't collect from Shubadim, you are going to collect from the Lolova. And the Lolova says, I never wrote this. I don't owe this money. Or I paid it. So the answer is Shmuel Tameh, Shmuel says in the name of Meir, Shtar chov shemer achrayut ein b'achrayut nechasim. If you have a shtar without achrayut, ein gover lo mishabdi v'lo meichari. You can't collect from either. So if you can't collect from either, what's the point of the shtar? What's the point of returning it to anybody? You have the malveh bottle stuffer. It's a piece of paper. That's all it is. Not worth anything. Why don't you give it to the borrower and let him stuff his bottle with it? After all, he paid for the shtar. The answer is, because Lova says there never was such a loan. He says there was no. I can't give him the guy a shtar that he says he never wrote. So it goes to the Malva, and the Malva can use it for whatever he used it for. So that means that if Shmuel, in his take, agrees with the Baye, that any shtar that is written, the Edim, the minute the Edim sign on it, the Shibud is already there, then what reason would we have for returning it? For not returning it, it's because it's a case where the Lova says, I don't owe that money. But if the Lova says, I don't owe that money, then even if there is no achrayut, you shouldn't return it. The answer is Shmuel holds, according to Meir, that if there's no achrayut, you can't collect anything. Not Meshubadim, not Bnei Chorim. It's like, hopefully the guy's goodwill, he'll pay it back. If that's the case, then what's the point of returning it if you can't use it to collect? The answer is you can use it as a piece of paper to line the birdcage. Says, but who gets to keep it? The Malva. Why can't the Lova keep it? Because the Lova says it never happened. The Lova says there was no such star. And therefore you cannot give him a star that he claims never existed or he had nothing to do with. Okay, we'll pause at this point, and we're going to pick up with an analysis of the Machloket or Meir Chachamim on Daf Yod Gimel Amud Bet. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day.